It's another Sunday. I think it's the 51st Sunday of the month, of the year. We have one more Sunday to go, and there'll be no more Sundays in 2022. I've got good news, though. There'll be 53 more Sundays next year. Look, it's my name is Stephen Magwenzi, and I'm glad that you could join us here today. Who enjoyed Pastor David last week? Pastor David Hooper last week? Yeah, that was really good. What was interesting about his message, he was just talking about waiting on God. Was he spoke of a man in the book of the early parts of Luke, of a man named Simeon, who was told, a very old man, was a prophet, he was told by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Messiah before he died. And I don't know how long a time this man had to wait, but he waited a very long time. And in that time of waiting, where you're asking God or you're believing for something, I wonder, did he ever waver in his faith? And I wonder for you and I, whenever we're having to wait for something, do we wait patiently? Do we wait in a manner that is we're complaining? And we know that waiting is a very difficult thing to do. Now, when you're waiting for nothing, it's okay. But when you are waiting in anticipation and you know that God has said that you're going to get something, but you don't know when, then the waiting becomes that much more difficult. So when you have a promise of something, somebody says to you, at 3 o'clock tonight, this afternoon, we're going to be going to a movie. So now you wait in anticipation of, is that individual going to come? The problem becomes when it gets to 2:45, and they haven't come, you start to wonder, is that individual actually going to turn up? In our culture today, the word we have for hope is often used to represent wishful thinking. And so hope is, of course, expecting something to happen, but not being entirely sure that it's going to happen. So it's more like a wish. So for example, wishing that it's going to rain. You hope it rains, but you don't know whether it's going to rain. And of course, hoping that your favorite team wins whatever championship it is. So my hope today, it's a wishful hope that France wins the World Cup. That's my hope, but I'm not certain that it's actually going to win the World Cup. In the Old Testament, the verb translated hope is kawa, which means to trust and to wait expectantly. And so in Jeremiah 14, verse 22, it says, can any of the worthless foreign gods send us rain? Does it fall from the sky? And this comes at a time when Jeremiah was praying for healing of the land. And also it was a time when they were praying for rain to come down. And this is why he then says, can any of the worthless foreign gods send us rain? Does it fall from the sky by itself? And so he's saying that rain just doesn't fall from the sky. So he says, therefore our hope is in you, referring to God here. You are the one who does all this. And so the prophet, when he's saying this, is not fearful. He isn't wondering if God is going to come through. Instead, Jeremiah confidently expects God to fulfill his promises to Israel. And this is the thing for us, is that our hope is that God is going to fulfill the promises that he has given to each and every one of us. When we come to the time of Christmas, it is all about hope. It is all about the hope that God said that I will send a son. In Isaiah chapter 9, I think verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, has been given. A child is born. And the government will be upon his shoulders. He's going to be a mighty counselor, prince of peace. So this is the promise that God had given to all of us. When God put Adam and Eve into the Garden of Eden, we understand that a garden is an enclosure. It is a protected place. This is where we were supposed to be in perfect union with God. And Eden means a pleasure and provision. And so now you and I, through the sin of Adam, we are no longer under God's authority. And so he removed us from the garden of Eden, which is a place of protection and provision. But what he did is, the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, God put the wheels in motion for us to be restored to him. And this is the Christmas message. When we see Jesus being born in a manger, it is a story of hope of mankind that had been separated from God. And so God decided himself to say, I will find a solution to restore them back to me, because by ourselves, we could not restore ourselves to God. So he put it upon himself to say, I will solve the problem. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, he says, and this is referring to Jesus, it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, this is Jesus, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. And this is what the Lord Jesus did for us. And the reason he did this for you and I was all because of love. And so this is what Christ says, that if you are going to restore mankind back into relationship with you, send me, I will go. I will forget the fact that I can walk around in my princely robes and do whatever it is I want to do, so that we can restore both man into relationship with God. Who's happy about that? Nobody's happy about that? Just say amen if you're happy. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son Jesus into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him. We in our lives have got issues of being judged, issues of shame, because we might do some things and all of a sudden we feel judged. But Christ came so that we might have eternal life. He came, he was born so that you and I can come back into relationship with the Lord. And when he has come, he will remove all the shame, take away all the shame in our lives, and restore us back into position with him. His motivation, the reason why he came, is because he loved you and I. What God did, God did an incredible thing when he created man. He gave him a choice. He gave him the power to choose. So he created them and said, look, I've created you in my own image. You're going to be just like us. But I also have given you the power to choose whether you follow me or not. And even though man decided not to follow God, God still pursued you and I. He still pursued you and I, and he said, I will go and make a way so that I can restore them back into fellowship with me. That's, of course, if you choose to take that option. The choice is entirely up to you and I, whether we want to continue to follow the Lord or to do our own things. So when Christ came, it was because of the love that he has for us. And he says that, you know, when he spoke to, in the New Testament, the story of Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus, Christ went to Zacchaeus' house, and Zacchaeus says, look, I'm going to give back four times to anybody that I have cheated. And the Lord said, this is Jesus saying, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, which is Jesus, came to seek and to save those who are lost. Because we were lost and separated because of our own choices, Christ took him upon himself to come onto earth to save us so that we can get back into relationship with him. Amen? So the word hope in the New Testament is from the Greek word elpis. And according to Strong's Concordance, elpis means expectation, trust, and confidence. It comes from the root word elpo, which means to anticipate and to welcome. And so elpis is an expectation of what is guaranteed. So this word elpis first appears in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 12, verse 21. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope. Because initially, they felt that Jesus had only come for the Jews. But It was then said that Jesus has come for all of mankind. So in that name, the Gentiles will have hope that they too would be restored back into fellowship with the Lord. But the most interesting thing about hope is that hope in the New Testament is not just a mere part of speech. Hope is invested and focused on the person of Jesus Christ. Hope is invested and focused on someone. That is the person of Jesus. This is why whenever we go through struggles in our lives, we will always focus on what the Lord Jesus said. He says that, I am going to prepare a place for you. If it was not so, I would have told you. So we will hope that even though in life things may happen to us, even though perhaps we will experience death, but we will always hope because the Lord is the one that has guaranteed it. There is hope for us. When Jesus came and he died and he was resurrected, we too have the same hope that we are going to be resurrected to be with the Lord. Amen. Now the enemy has always tried to stop the plans of God for your life and for my life. And we can know that through scripture that whenever there was somebody that was rising, that was going to follow in the footsteps of the Lord, and that the enemy would always come and try to kill people. That was the same when Moses was born. They said, any child under 2 years of old, let us destroy. Because they were fearful that when the plans of God come to fruition, that the nation of Egypt was going to be destroyed. And so they said, look, we're going to make sure that this doesn't happen, and we're going to kill any boy under the age of two. So the enemy comes to steal your hope. Whatever hope you have, he comes to steal. Even when Jesus was born, the three kings came and they went to Herod and said, look, we're searching for the new king. Now Herod then felt threatened to think, oh my goodness, if there is a new king that is coming, then surely what's going to happen to me? I'm no longer going to be king. And so he comes up with a plan and he says to these guys, look, tell me when you have found him, come back and tell me about this king so that I too can go and worship him. It then so happened that the kings got a dream, and the dream was that don't go back the way that you came, go a different way. Still, Herod gave a decree to say, kill all the male children under the age of 2 years old. And so the enemy is always going to come to look to destroy your hope. It comes through the difficulties that we face in our lives, where we are struggling in our relationships, you're struggling in your businesses, there is just struggle at work in your finances. And so all of a sudden it feels like there is no hope. You're struggling at school, your grades are not what you expect them. And so all of a sudden you lose hope. You're struggling with your family, that things are just not the way where there's normal relationships, that everybody loves one another and everything is just great. There's bickering and there's infighting, and that's obviously always not a good thing. But when Jesus came and was born on Christmas Day, it's telling us that hope is not defeated. That hope is not defeated. Therefore, we don't give up. We don't lose hope. Because if Christ came for us, that was the promise that God had given. We then can be assured that no matter what comes against us, we can continue to hope in the Lord. Hebrews 10 says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. So there is a promise that God has given each and every one of us. Now ultimately that promise is going to mean that when the Lord Jesus comes back, we're all going to go to heaven and it'll be great. And, you know, we'll be just walking on streets of gold, and that is going to be really exciting. But we have to hold on to hope when things are not going well for us. When things are not going well for us here on earth, we need to hold on to hope so that our hope is not defeated. We can trust in who Jesus says that he is. The three kings, when they came, when they saw a star and decided to come and to follow, to go and to worship the Lord, One of the things they did was that they were guided by a star to find a Messiah that they had heard about. What they did, what we can learn from them, is that they made a choice to follow the star. They were very intentional. At nighttime, when it's all pitch black and dark and there's no lights, it's quite easy to see the stars. But imagine during the daytime when there was no star to follow. Imagine what they had to do. They probably had to stop, but they were very intentional. They had made up their minds that we are going to follow this star so that we see this Messiah that we had heard, that we've heard about. You see, the search of these three kings represents for us the search of many people to see the Savior that they have heard about. These three kings bought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But what we learn from the three kings is that we give our most precious gift to Jesus, and that is our time and that is our life. And what I like, you see, is that time spent with the Lord is not time wasted. Time spent with the Lord is not time wasted. A life given to the Lord is not a life that is wasted. That it for me, and I think I said this previously, that if the Lord doesn't do anything else for me, and I'm not saying he shouldn't, but if he doesn't do anything else for me, I'm okay with it, because I'm assured that even though I will die, because that's going to happen, I know that I'm going to see him again. So that in itself, salvation in itself, is the greatest gift that we have been given. The question for us is that just as these kings were guided by the star, will we allow the word of God to guide you and I? Will this word of God be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path? This is a choice that you and I have got to make. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you may feel. Will you allow the word of God to guide your life? And by this I mean, will you allow the word of God to speak to you and guide you in your relationships, to guide you in your conduct, in your business conduct, at work, when you go to the shops, as you interact with people, as you interact with your family? Will we be guided by the word of God? That is a choice that you and I have to make each and every day. Will I put God first? When I get a very good deal, where there is an opportunity for me to go and work somewhere that is going to pay me a lot of money, but it's going to come at the expense of my family, what decision am I going to make? The Bible is very clear about some of the decisions that you have to make, that if you trust the Lord, that he will provide for you, and you don't sacrifice your family, because if you sacrifice your family, then everything falls apart. Now, I'm not saying if you get a good job, don't take it. But all I'm saying is that let us be guided by the word of God, because sometimes what may seem very green from afar, when you get there, you find that it's a mirage. We heard our sister Kaylee in November speak of tell a story of how God, she was working in a very difficult job, and her boss, who was a boss, left and went to another company, and he was inviting her, why don't you come and work here? They're going to promise her, you know, all this money, it's going to be great. Somehow she felt that it wasn't time for her to leave the job, even though she was dealing with a new boss who was very difficult towards her, who made life difficult for her. She chose to stay. Needless as it happens, the boss who was inviting her to that other company, he was made redundant at that company. And where she was elevated to new positions. Will we allow the word of God to lead us and to direct us? The choice is really up to you and I. And so Christmas time is a time of hope. It is a time when and I like the commercialization of Christmas, even though, you know, the shops go crazy with lights. And one of the key things about Christmas is that It is about bringing people together, about bringing families together so they can do life together. Hope is looking expectantly towards the future based on our faith in God in the present and his faithfulness in the past. Because God has done it for us before, we can be assured he'll do it for us again. And as Christians, what we need to have hope that no matter how difficult it is, God will help us navigate those turbulent waters without despair. We can have joy and peace despite our circumstances because we know we have a God that will work things for our good. Desmond Tutu said, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness." Jesus Christ represents that hope. Christmas represents that hope. And so as we approach Christmas with our families and we are creating wonderful spreads, let us remember that it is a time to be hopeful. That no matter what, you may have dysfunctional family relationships, but hold on to the hope that God can restore your family. Hold on to hope that God will make a way for you, even though there don't seem to be a way. I'll just get Elta to get back up and start playing as we just bring this to a close. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. The power of hope. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. I'll just invite everybody to stand this morning. If you've received a promise from the Lord and you are despairing, I want you to listen to this last part of this. It says, the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. God sent Jesus because he loved you and I. Jesus is our hope, and he's faithful and he's true. The story of Christmas is a story about the power of hope. When man felt that they were separated, they had no way of bringing themselves back into relationship with God. But he came for us. That is the power of Christmas. Let's not lose sight of what Christmas is about. Be full of hope this Christmas season. Be full of hope for your family. Be full of hope for your friends. For whatever situation that you're facing, whatever obstacles you're facing, be full of hope that if God can send Jesus to come and save us, that God will make a way for us. We all need to be full of hope. You know, in Proverbs, as I finish, Proverbs 16, verse 33, it says, "We may throw the dice," that's you and I, "but the Lord determines how they fall." And what that is saying to you and I is that we are not here by accident, not just by some hocus pocus, abracadabra. Hey, presto, and we're here. We are here because God has manipulated things so that we can be here. For you and I, that God, for his purpose and his will to be carried out, he will manipulate things for you and I. Which tells me that no matter how I may feel that, oh, I'm just a second-class citizen, what can the Lord do through me? You have to understand that God has given you hope, that you are a carrier of hope for other people. And because of that, you cannot see yourself the same because you've got the Spirit of God within you. And because of that, you're a carrier of hope. So you're not here by accident. So the way that you carry yourself, the way that you see yourself, and the way that you talk to yourself has to change because of what God has placed in your life. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the power of hope. that no matter what comes against us, Father, you are there for us. You will make a way for us. You will make things work for our good. I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning that, Lord, this Christmas season, Lord God, that hope is in the name of Jesus. That hope is in the person of Jesus. That we can look to Jesus for hope. But more importantly, that we are carriers of hope. And that we take this hope of Christmas and speak to it to all our friends and to our family and those that are around us in our world. That we are carriers of your hope. And so, Father, I pray for your people this morning that as we leave this place, and Lord, even as others are beginning to make plans to travel, that you would watch over them, that they'd have a wonderful time of with their families, of just fellowship, of good food, Lord, of just making memories. We thank you, Lord, that we are those that are in this country, Lord God, in Australia, in Western Australia. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, and I just pray the protection of your Holy Spirit as your people travel. I pray a covering over their families, Lord God. I pray for restoration of relationships within families. For those, Lord God, in business, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you'd be there, just cover their business, Lord God. Lord God, that no matter what is coming, Lord God, in 2023, we can rest assured knowing, Lord God, that you have gone before us, Lord God, that you make a way for us, that, Lord, we can be hopeful because of Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. So thank you, church. Let's head to the back and have just have coffee and tea. If you need prayer, please come to the front and I would love to pray for you. Thanks. Elton, just take us on a... Whilst everybody's walking out, if you need prayer, please come to the front. Have a wonderful Sunday. And there's a church service next week, Sunday, for those that are going to be in town. It's only going to be a short service for about 45 minutes. So thank you. 11. Yeah, same time.